That recording is one of the most remembered and beloved R&B and doo-wop classics of all time. My name is Ronnie Allen, and I am so pleased to have on the phone with me the lead singer on that record and one of the founding members of the Willows. And I know he's a good guy because he did some recordings for the Allen record label. I didn't have anything to do with that label, but I would love to say hello right now. A little drum roll, Mr. Tony Middleton of the Willows. And Tony, thank you so much for doing this show with me.
It's all right.
Allen Records. I had never known that there was a record company named Allen Records.
Abbey Records was the original company there.
Oh, it's called Abbey Records?
That was a long time before.
Oh, before Allen Records came about.
Right.
All right.
The Pete Durain label, and Allen Records came with a gentleman that he'd gotten business with to help get these records on the street. And because it was a storefront record company.
We should point out, though, that Church Bells May Ring was on none of the above. It was on the record label that was named after Toast, Melba.
Oh, that's Melba Records.
That was Melba Records. But
right. Marty Crabb.
Giving everybody credit by first and last name, you, of course, are Tony Middleton.
On my earlier days and coming into the group, my name was Anthony Wright. I went to school on the right and everything. My mother was mad twice. And so I used that name until I got my birth certificate.
Okay.
My name.
We're getting very specific here. The other members, Richie Davis and brothers Ralph Martin and Joe Martin. And Scooter.
Scooter was John Steele.
Okay, John Steele.
John Thomas Steele.
And his nickname was Scooter.
Right. And Freddie Donovan came later. The Dovers was our name earlier.
As in the White Cliffs of Dover?
Right.
Okay.
Me and the guys got together and we changed the name because we were looking for a different name. We wound up picking the name The Willows, the tree, you know?
Okay.
So no birds, but the tree.
The Willows. You began singing around 1952. You were teenagers, all of you around 16 years old.
Meanwhile, I was at the Salem Crescent gym. I was training to be a fighter. And I was in the Golden Gloves for a minute over on 96th and 8th Avenue.
You were in the Golden Gloves for about a minute?
Yeah, in the respect of being in training and whatnot, you know.
Oh, okay.
I wound up singing with the guys. Coming home one night, I ran into the fellas on the street.
So you...
And there was a song that I had always sung called My Dear Dearest Darling that I was almost in love with. And so we practiced that. And we must have recorded that thing about 200 times.
Let's listen to just a little bit of My Dear Dearest Darling. And this is on the Allen record label. This is the slow side of the Willows. This is
right.
Dear, dearest darling, and you certainly rehearsed it enough and recorded it.
You're not kidding.
We're going to flip it over right now and going to show the other side of the Willows, which is the up-tempo side, Rock Little Francis.
Oh, Rock Little Francis, some nice ideas, and we did it all together.
Who wrote Rock Little Francis?
Well, actually, what happened is that we started my idea, of course, Rock Little Francis, in the respect of starting a song, because we have no piano and we didn't play piano, to start doing a background thing, you know, and either I start out like, let's rock and let's roll or whatever it is, and then we would put background behind it, you know. It's very, very complicated for kids to do at that time, you know, but it was like easy for us in the respect of doing it once we got the hang of what we were doing. In the beginning of the song, there was no pencil and paper. We just ran right off the top of our heads.
I'm going to listen in its entirety right now. These are the Willows and Rock Little Francis.
Well, as I was walking down the street, well, I had to meet, I had to order
That was not about Francis the Talking Mule. Oh, I shouldn't do that. I shouldn't make fun of anything. I have this reputation that I am so respectful. Well, listen, I really am respectful. When we get to Church Bells May Ring, I think that brings us kind of into another dimension, because that song has just stood the test of time incredibly. And we're going to find out in just a few moments what famous entertainer, who, by the way, should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but is not as yet, played the chimes
on Church Bells May Ring.
We're going to move to a release that shows the slow side of the Willows once again, and we'll play this one in its entirety. It's called Dolores. Was there really a Dolores in your life?
We just came up with a title, Dolores. It wasn't a girl. It was that we knew or whatever. We knew. I knew a Dolores, but she wasn't a girlfriend. She was just a friend. It wasn't a girl that, you know, we was frequently around.
Yeah.
We never had too many girls around us. Rehearsing, because Ralph and Joe's mother, she kept us doing it, and she was a sweetheart, and she would make food for them and put it in the oven and leave it there.
Uh-huh.
When they finished rehearsing, we would leave, you know.
Yeah, we didn't want any hungry singers and hungry musicians. Not at all. Let's listen to Dolores right now, doing the lead singing, of course, the gentleman I'm talking to right now, Tony Middleton. These are the Willows.
Gratefulness. Dolores. Will you please demand?
That's a nice song, by the way, Dolores. I really like that one. Now, while we're at it, let's flip it over and hear just a little bit of the very different B-side of the record, which is
All Night Long.
I do want to say a big shout out to Clay Cole.
Yes.
You're going to be doing an event with Clay Cole shortly now. And it's going to be on the 27th, so depending on when you hear this interview, it may have taken place or it may not have taken place. But what are you doing? You're appearing at Long Island University at some sort of a seminar?
Long Island University, which is the old Brooklyn Paramount, and it's across the street from Junior's Restaurant.
And by the way, it was at the Brooklyn Paramount that Clay did shows that broke all existing records.
Right.
Clay is going to be the keynote speaker, and you're going to be doing a special doo-wop concert?
A little bit. I'm not with the group, just me. But maybe one of my guys will be there. I got a new guy in the group, but I don't think Willow's going to be there. I was asked to do this thing, and I thought it was a great idea, and Michael Hitman invited me and turned this thing into a wonderful thing because it's going to be a lot of people there. We're going to have Bobby J. We're going to have Billy Don Smith. He's going to be there, the producer of 16 Candles and a couple other things. You know Bobby J. You know, he's
WCBS-FM, right? The legendary jockey.
And Bobby J. was singing with the teenagers, you know.
That's right, yes. A man of many talents wearing many hats. So
oh, yeah, he's a beautiful person. Yeah.
I'm Ronnie, and we're reminiscing about the Willows. Allen Records, unfortunately, went out of business. As you remember, I had to shut down the company. Who was Allen named after, though? Who was the real Allen?
Victor Allen from Connecticut. He had a trucking company.
Okay. You put out the records, and he was able to take them himself from place to place. that was the deal. But he went out of business in 1954.
Yeah.
And you
were you there at the time?
Not really. Well, I was alive. I was familiar with your group only through Church Bells May Ring, which we're going to get to in a couple of moments. I was around. I just wasn't there. After Allen Records went out of business, you moved to Herald Records. Al Silver.
Yeah, Al Silver.
Yeah, now, they had other groups. They had the...
Oh, they had Faye Adams, they had Turbans, and Nutmegs, and Solitaires.
We should point out one thing that I actually neglected to mention, and that is when you were putting out records back then, you were known as the Five Willows.
Well, the reason why we changed it, now, we were the Willows, and then we changed it to the Five Willows because somebody was saying that another group tried to use the name. So we changed it to the Five Willows. And then we had to change it again, Tony Middleton and the Willows.
Right.
The group down in California somewhere made a record. The point is, we don't know who the group is, but they had the name the Willows.
Yeah.
And like, if though they were the Willows, and that's unbelievable. It's just how people do things.
We're going to move on now to a record on the Herald label, and we'll play the fast side of this one, Come a Little Closer.
Well, that was written by Charlie Singleton. He wrote Spanish Eyes and Strangers in the Night with Burt Kinsler. Charlie Singleton, we went to his house. We were about, I don't know, 18, something like that. And he was in the bed. We had to get him out of his bed. At that time of morning, we started rehearsing on that song. And he gave us that song, Come a Little Closer.
Baby, come a little closer. Baby, come a little closer. Come a little closer. Ooh, up in my arms. Carter. Now, oh, Nina Miss Carter, can't you come a little closer? Ooh, it's been no harm. Darling, talk a little song in my ear. Tell me to sing what I love to hear. My mind is set about the 15-11. Tell the time, said you come a little closer. Baby, come a little closer.
A little closer, the Five Willows, just to be technical, which I wasn't before, and I'm Ronnie, and I'm talking to Tony Middleton, who could have been a contender. He could have been a championship boxer.
Yeah.
He went for singing instead. In 1955, Tony, you were introduced to a gentleman named Morty Kraft, and
yeah.
He had this label.
Malibu Records.
Yeah, and he took you into the studio.
Right.
And you recorded a song. Now, I notice I'm looking at copies of the label. His name is on the record.
He made us do that. We didn't know any better. And the reason why he thinks that he should have had his name on the record is because he gave us the idea to make it fast.
Initially, so, when you wrote the song, it was really slow?
It was slow. We did it slowly. Yeah, very slow ballad.
I could see how it would work as a slow ballad. In fact, the gentleman we're going to talk about right now, who played the chimes on Church Bells May Ring, is a man who had a huge number one hit in 1962, and then 13 years later, he took that up-tempo hit, and he turned it into a slow song, and he had a hit all over again with it. I'm talking about Neil Sedaka. The hit was Breaking Up Is Hard to Do. He played the chimes.
He was at the studio.
In other words, this was not really planned.
No, he just asked him to do it. Marty always was a good idea man.
One other question. I'm looking at releases of the record, and some of the releases say Church Bells Are Ringing.
That was a mistake, misprint, and that's a collector's item out here.
Probably worth a boodle.
This is worth a lot of money.
Now, by the way, on Church Bells May Ring, your friend, Richard Simon, is singing the very famous bass part, which includes the phrase, hello, hello again.
Right. Richard Simon. I tried to get him to come with the group, but he wouldn't do it, you know.
By the way, you wrote the song one day. You were hanging out at somebody's house, one of the bop chords, your neighborhood friends. And according to what I'm reading here, your wife, Betty, gave you the idea for the song.
Right, she did. And she said, well, I wish I was getting paid.
Which is more important, the money or the glory?
The glory is more important. Money is secondary.
But you wouldn't turn down the money.
The point is wonderful to have it.
This is one of the most requested and best-loved 50s hits. These are the Willows, and you weren't the Five Willows anymore. You were the Willows, just the Willows, and Church Bells May Ring.
Church Bells May Ring. Thank you.
I would have to say, when you listen to that record, Neil did a pretty good job on those chimes.
On them bells, on those
bing,
bells.
Bing, 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 bing. He could have had a whole other career, but
yeah.
What did he do? He just wasted his life singing and playing the piano. Can't
then everybody started doing bells when we had that.
Yeah, it was an imitated record. I have to mention something that happened subsequent to your recording of Church Bells May Ring. There was a group called The Diamonds.
The Diamonds, right. They recorded it, and they had a hit with it. And their manager wound up managing us for a minute.
For a minute?
It was nothing big deal.
He didn't even have time to sign the contract.
He really didn't do nothing for us.
Well,
so he picked us up, you know, because he liked me.
I think it had to be kind of a bittersweet thing for you, because as the writers of the song, Church Bells May Ring, you're getting paid, or you were supposed to at least be getting paid some royalties. But on the other hand, you feel bad because you hear the Diamonds record being played on radio stations, which could have been playing The Willows.
And they got more fame than we did. Well, I'm going to tell you something. You know, being that it was just coming out of race records and everything, you expect anything back then, you know? If it wasn't for Alan Freed, race records would probably still be around.
Well, Alan Freed always played the originals.
That's right. He knocked them dead. He was some talent, that guy.
And by the way, the Diamonds record somehow ended up being called The Church Bells May Ring. Everybody wants to do things with the title. You know, you have the Mona Lisa, and you figure, well, we got to paint a mustache now. Add the word the. I don't know. In any event, you did have that song. For the Diamonds, it became a top 20 record. For the Willows, it became an R&B and doo-wop classic.
Right,
and
right.
It is the one that you'd have to say is the most remembered version of the song.
Right. The Diamonds was from Canada.
Yeah.
For them to be so up on what we were doing here, it just was a surprise. This group come out of left field. I did a show with the Diamonds on PBS.
With Dave Somerville?
Yeah. And he asked me, he says, what did you think about the fact that we did your record, Church Bells May Ring, back then? I said, I didn't like it, and I still don't like it. I think it's unfair for anybody to cover anybody's record in the respect of what they did maybe years to come, maybe 2 or 3 years later.
Well, then it's cover them. Yeah, by the way, there's actually a difference between a cover and a remake. The cover means that you're competing
with
another record. Now, if you do a remake, like 3 or 4 years later, then
that's great.
It's not a cover.
That's fantastic.
A lot of people just use the term cover to cover everything, which is not totally accurate. At any rate, we could probably do a part two someday, a show about your solo career. Would you consider doing that in the future?
No problem. I would love to do that with you.
Great.
I would like to get somebody to produce a show on me and
well,
a couple of males out there that I know, that, and a couple of chicks that I know.
Can I represent you? My email address is ronnieoldiesguy@aol.com.
Sure. I would like for you to produce the show.
Oh, okay. That's fine. That's even better. In addition to the Willows, you went on to have a really impressive solo career. In the later 60s, you recorded for various labels, and when we add all these labels up, we have to say, Tony, that you have probably recorded for more labels than just about anyone else. I think we should submit your name to the Guinness Book of World Records. You recorded for ABC Paramount and Cap and MGM and Saxony and Triumph and Alto and Big Top.
Answer me this.
What?
How come they don't put me in the Hall of Fame?
Because they would have to list all your record labels, and there's no room to put anything else about you other than the labels.
Okay.
Is that a good snappy answer to that?
All right.
But you deserve to be honored. Well, maybe someday it'll happen. Who knows?
Yeah.
You produced the right show.
All right.
We'll say. But if you want me to be the producer, I got one word of advice. Be careful what you wish for.
Okay.
In the 70s, you recorded for other labels, including A&M and Columbia.
Yeah.
You were nominated for a Grammy in 1972, and what was that for?
Don't Ever Leave Me.
The Tony Middleton single?
Yes.
And what was the category? Was it R&B single?
R&B.
R&B single.
Yeah.
Who won the Grammy that year?
I don't know who won it, but I know Dionne Warwick was there. She did her thing.
And you also appeared on Broadway with Ray Pollard of The Wanderers. Pearly?
Ray Pollard,
right.
Bill Grayson, Ed Ross.
You were in the production of Pearly.
Yeah.
And other shows.
Right.
Tony, I wish you the best. Do say hello to Clay Cole for me.
I will.
We're going to close the show from a CD that you sent me, which is a solo CD, Selections from Paris Blues. This is one called Memories Are Made of This. This was a number one hit for Dean Martin. The song was written by a gentleman named Terry Gilkison. He had his own hit with Mary Ann. Anything you want to say to close about this particular song, Memories Are Made of This?
Well, that's about the best thing to say. And, Memories Are Made of
This. And the lyrics really say it all, don't they?
Better believe it.
Tony, have a great year. Thanks once again for doing the show.
Thank you so much, and I appreciate everything you've done.
Sweet, sweet, November is gay. Sweet, sweet,
November is gay. Sweet, sweet, what a fresh and tender kiss.
Sweet, sweet, November
is gay. And what a golden night of bliss.
Sweet, sweet,
hey, oh, one girl, one boy, some dream, some joy.
Memories are made of this.
Ooh, don't forget a small movie. Yeah, oh, in life is a dream. Hey, girl, your lips and mine, two sips of wine.
Memories are made of this.
The show. Now a couple of bonus tracks by the Willows, both of them recorded after they hit with Church Bells May Ring in 1956. This first one was recorded for a label that was owned by Buchanan and Goodman of Flying Saucer fame. The label was El Dorado Records, and these are the Willows doing a song called The First Taste of Love.
So sweet, it touches.
finally, here's one that they recorded for George Goldner's label, Gone Records. We're going to be gone after we listen to the Willows' great rendition of an old standard. Linda Scott was one of the many artists that recorded this song. These are the Willows doing their interpretation of Let's Fall in Love.
Fall in love, our hearts are meant to be. Let's take a chance.